Most people, newsman, if we're honest, probably wonder at times what other people think of us.
Yeah, I think that's a common problem for everyone. Maybe not a problem, but human nature, isn't it?
I often wonder.
What are people thinking?
Yeah, I often wonder, what does the newsman really think of me?
No, you know.
Not good things. What about as a country? What do people think about Australia as a country? This week we got a bit of an idea. Online news outlet Vice News published the results of a survey they did asking people who had just recently arrived in Australia what they thought of the country and its people. The things that they found kind of surprising, or the things that struck them as particularly different.
Americans had an impression of Australia in the 80s because of Paul Hogan. We were very laid back, friendly, always talking about kangaroos and having a beer and putting a shrimp on a barbie.
Just always shrimps on the barbie.
But I'm sure this is slightly different because these people are coming from pretty extreme situations and meeting people. Hopefully they think we're a kind of friendly lot, but let's have a listen.
Some of these are spot on and I think, yeah, absolutely, I can see that. Others, I'm not so sure of. Let's see what you reckon. This first guy, I'm not sure if it's a guy, it's Lynn from Sweden.
Okay.
So this person, first impressions, I remember being shocked by the AFL. Do they seriously have to wear such short shorts? They are practically running around in undies. Then on top of that, they all run through a homemade banner while some joyful theme song gets played way too loud. It's like something out of a weird high school musical. Yeah, I'll cop that. I feel like I can imagine how looking at AFL is a bit of a bizarre thing for the first time.
Yeah, I think the shorts is a bit of a dated observation, but the rest of it, yeah.
But still valid.
Still valid. They're not short shorts these days. But yeah, the whole other...
Who is wearing shorter shorts than that? In what sport do they wear shorter than that?
Okay, fair enough. But the rest of it, weird. Yeah. Mm. Homemade banners, singing a song.
Mm.
This is a diversion of thought, but it's funny. I'll go to the football and I'll sing this song with enthusiasm and gusto. But if I go to church, sometimes I'm a bit embarrassed about singing a song in church. What's the difference?
Well, that is an interesting comment. Why don't you sing the football song at church?
I will try that next time. Apologies in advance, Dad. Sorry, move on.
This one I also think, yeah, I can probably, we should probably own up to this. Yishi from China says, my first impression was, quote, there are a lot of obese people, like really, really big. I didn't really know what was going on. I guess the standards are different. Skinny back home means very skinny. So, I don't take notice, but I can imagine we do. I mean, we are a pretty fat country.
We see it as commonplace because we know that the food's available. If you want to chow down on Hungry Jack's, or cakes, or donuts, or anything.
Or all of those at the same time.
All of those 7 days a week. Soft drink, as much as you want to drink. Everyone can afford it, so everyone can get super fat.
Mm.
And I guess we just get used to it. But yeah, it's a bit of a sad observation.
Weird that this person from China would have said, I didn't really know what was going on. Like is it a fashion statement?
Like respected like sumos.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, revered fatty.
Interesting. This one I'm not really sure about. This one I don't get. Selena from Switzerland reckons everyone looks like they're out of a Rip Curl catalogue. I'm not sure what part of Australia she went to.
Obviously the Goldie.
Yeah.
Gold Coast.
Probably
not. Or some, yes, Sydney beaches.
Adelaide, not so much. No. She reckons everyone eats pies.
Right.
Maybe true. And fish and chips. Yeah, probably true during summer, especially while wearing thongs and singlets. So, I don't know. I feel like that description is, you know, describes maybe that. Well, it would be maybe 1 in 100 Australians actually look like that.
I think a lot of people do get around in thongs more often than your average. People will wear thongs wherever they can.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing while eating pies isn't sort of predominant in Australia compared to other places. You probably don't see that many people just walking around just munging on a pie in a bag. It's and using the word munging.
munging. Speaking of language, I really like this one. Ian from the US has commented on how Australians like to shorten a lot of words. And I never thought of it in this way, but he reckons that it makes everything sound kind of cuter than it should be in a weird way. Like, if you think about football becomes footy.
Yes.
Barbecue becomes Barbie.
Barbie.
And then a very frightening guy who rides around on a motorcycle is a bikey. all fair observations. Mm. He says a party in the middle of nowhere becomes a bush doof. So that one is actually fairly new to me. I don't really remember hearing that one. And he was baffled as to what fair dinkum actually means.
Fair dinkum.
It's true, because we just instinctively know what that means. But if you tried to logically go through that phrase, you could not solve
what
that.
What does it mean? This is legitimate. This is on the level,
I guess.
You go from one sort of phrase to the next.
Fair dinkum. Well, it could be, you could be describing it as, you know, that guy's fair dinkum. You know, he's honest, he's okay. But we also sometimes use it as like an exclamation, like, you know, he did what? Fair dinkum. You know, a bit outraged about something. I don't know. It's just, it's a multi-purpose.
I like the deets of Ian's observation there.
The what?
Deets.
The deets.
Not as cute. Details. Deets. No, sorry.
You tried to use some short slang and we had an Orky Momo.
Orky Momo. Can I use that one?
Oh, take it. Just pay me 1 cent every time. Now, this one really, this really hit home, and it's something we all could do well to remember. Viola from Germany says, everybody's relaxed and nice in Australia. Pretty much true, yeah. Mm. Very friendly compared to European cities. Okay, well, take your word for it, Viola. All the fears and worries that are going on in Europe right now, refugees, terror, things like that, it's a very weird mood or feeling. People are aware of all that here in Australia, but it's not really real. It's very far away, which is very true.
That's a good point, but I'm happy to be blissfully distanced from it.
But we are acutely aware of what's going on. We hear all the stories, and every time we hear one, we kind of get told, well, you know, like, it's a matter of time until this arrives in Australia. But, you know, so far, it hasn't really, in the same way it has a lot of other countries. And we are a long way away. And what Viola said is, when I first got here, it felt like a Western paradise. It's sunny all the time. It's this paradise that's so far away from everything. So, you know, just a reminder, we are lucky.
I think I have met some European people that, yeah, their awareness of other countries' political goings on and news is probably a lot better than most Australians, and that's because the countries border each other, so you've got a real interest. So I like those observations. They're good.
Yeah, so if you're wondering, what is everyone, if we were collectively as a country wondering, what is everyone thinking of us? Well, that's it. Name news this week, Marcus. A list getting around the internet of the worst, or perhaps they're the best, bogan baby names.
Just recently becoming a father, or earlier this year, it's a few months have passed now, but basically you go through the names book and you think, who's naming their kid that? Or you even see in the baby ads in the paper, you think, what were they thinking? But it sounds like these names can correlate with success in life.
Well, we'll get to that. The bogan names, I quickly had to check the list because same as you, I just wanted to quickly double check that I hadn't accidentally named our kid a bogan name.
You know,
disappointing
what?
I think
the bogans who name these bogans aren't reading the bogan list. They're and if they do, they're probably proud rather than ashamed.
Yeah, well, let's check. I've got a boy. These are the boys' names. Number one, best or worst, depending on your point of view, bogan baby name is Bacardi.
Bacardi?
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse my naivety, is there any other connection other than drinking?
That, just clearly an alcohol brand.
Okay, right.
Next, Gaige, G-A-I-G-E.
Right.
Next, Harrison. Seems fairly straightforward, but it's spelt all funky. There's a Y in there.
Okay.
same with Jackson, which has got a K and an X and an S.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Then we get to a couple where they feel like mashup names, where you take one name and another name, mash them up together, and you get this number five on this list is Jaron.
Jaron, okay.
So you've got half James, half Darren, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, just found out a word I can't pronounce. Kendrew.
Is this for guys?
This is the boys list. A boy's name, Kendrew.
Holding the ball, Kendrew. Well done, Kendrew.
Jaron's probably better, isn't it? This is half like half Kendrick, half Andrew. Anyway, Lakin. Okay. And then they just get silly. I mean, if you thought they were bad, then they're rounding out the top nine, as it happens. I must have left one off the list. we've got Nicomachus. And, all right, this is a good one. William sounds all right, but it's spelt W-Y-L-I-U-M-M.
So, didn't check the names book and went with how they thought it was spelt, or...? Just trying to be different.
Yep. All right, girls. You've got two girls, Marcus.
Yes. Very common names.
Let's see if either of them are on the list.
Beautiful names, but quite prevalent.
Well, we'll find out. Number one, girl, Bogan, baby name, Elise.
Elise.
I like this one. Number two, Dijon. Because I think it's a nice word. It could be a nice name if you didn't immediately think mustard.
Yeah.
Dijon.
And Jeffrey Dijon, the West Indian wicketkeeper from the 80s.
Okay. Yep.
He was Dijon. Obscure. But
what about this? Enivid sounds completely crap, but it's divine spelt backwards. So, I mean, you're just trying to be tricky.
Why not just be Divine?
Was Divine Brown the...
Yeah,
so that you can't use that name.
Oh. One hooker ruins it for you.
Yeah, if you need the backstory on that, Google Hugh Grant. Okay. Number four, girl name, Feel. F-E-E-L. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Harleen.
I was about to break into.
No, you did break. You did break into some. Jaslyn. I mean, that's better than some. All right, here's another mashup, I feel. Kiranda.
Right.
All right. And this is just a shocker. Mignon.
Mignon.
Actually,
I've heard Mignon.
I probably met a Mignon.
Yeah, I don't know if I've met a Mignon, but I've heard of a few Mignons around the place.
Yeah, and they made that movie about the Mignons.
Ah.
Okay, here's a mashup. Vajonica.
Vajonica.
That is...
That's not true.
That is true. Number nine, Vajonica. That's got to be the worst of all that we've heard so far.
You said it with more of a sound.
Vajonica.
Oh, no, maybe you
didn't. I don't know. Nah, it's a shocker. Whatever way.
Well, what's she going to be nicknamed? Well, are they going to abbreviate that?
Yeah, actually? Well, you don't want to think about it. Xyla, you know, compared to Vajonica, you take Xyla. So, yeah, some names there to either avoid or go for, depending on how you feel about
it. What irks you more? Is it the made-up name or the fairly common name with just ridiculous spellings?
Both is dumb.
Yeah.
The spelling is just... It's just going to be impractical. You have to go through your life explaining how to spell the name all the time. I mean, you have to spell most surnames. That's enough time spent wasted. You're going to have to spell out your first name as well.
Yeah. They're not great.
Nah. I could be persuaded on Bacardi. Anyway. speaking of names, we also learn devastating news this week that Your surname can determine how rich you are. So, universities have done this study where they've crunched the data on the occupations of Australians since 1870 up till now.
This is a good study. That's a long time.
Thorough. And they've worked, you know, they've mashed that or they've crunched it all up and worked out the name you have does somehow correlate to the kind of job you have and, you know, how much money you make. And if you have an elite, what they call an elite surname, you're 76% more likely to have a degree from one of the country's best universities.
Okay.
That's a 76%. That's significant.
That is a good strike rate.
We'll get to what they are in a sec. Now, you're less likely to feature at the higher end of the social scale if you have an ordinary name.
I have an ordinary name.
Well, do you? Let's see. They've given some examples here. These are the names. If you have these names, sorry, you're less likely to be rich.
All right. I'm waiting.
Anderson, Brown, Clark, Cook, Cooper, Johnson, Jones, Martin, Smith, Taylor, Thompson, Turner. So, you know, all the fairly standard names. Walker, White, Williams, and Wilson.
No. So, I thought maybe my position would change. Like, I might become more successful. But with this name, I'm cursed. I'm tarred with poverty for the rest of my life.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, as you can see, I've got my pants held up with a piece of string and patches on the end of my shoes. But
and you've
been
drinking out of a paper bag all afternoon.
Pretty much.
I'm not sure what's happening there. I guess you could change your name if you did want to change it. These are the ones to go for. These are your elite names. Have one of these and you're much more likely to be a doctor, a lawyer, a surgeon, something that will make you loaded.
Okay. Bit down.
A Beckett.
A Beckett.
Yeah. I hadn't actually heard it. It's A, you know, apostrophe Beckett. Apparently it's...
Veronica A. Becker.
Yeah. It comes from Melbourne.
Okay.
Brissenden.
Marcus Brissenden.
That could
work. At your service.
There's an ABC reporter called Michael Brissenden. He comes from a line of journalists, writers, poets.
Okay.
Also, elite is club with a double B.
Mm.
Some old politicians back in the day called club. And this is maybe the most elite name you can have. Westacott.
Westacott. Mm.
I think it's some big business guy at the moment. He's a Westacott. Comes from a long line of Westacotts. They've all been loaded. They've all been successful.
Well, there you go. But the good thing, I do feel bad. I'm feeling like I've cursed the rest of my family and generations behind me with my surname. But I'm not on my own there. There's plenty of names there that we're all down in the bottom part of society.
There's only four elite names.
Yeah, true.
By this, so everyone else, you know, that's the 1% there.
Mm.
The rest of us, we just got to slog it out, working our jobs as, you know, regular Joes.
Thanks for comforting me, but I know your surname's not there, so you're quietly happy.
I'm off to tend to my estate. As we've worked out before, newsman, basically everyone's job these days involves just sitting at a computer and emailing all day.
Yeah, we have discussed it. Many pitfalls, many benefits. Mm-hmm. What's the latest?
There's a great story this week that revolves around tweeting and, emailing.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically emailing at work. A lady sent out a tweet and safe to say it got a bit of attention. 10,000 retweets.
Whoa, 10,000.
Yep.
It's better than your activity at work.
10K, yeah, you'd take that. That's what you call traction. Anyway, she put a question out there. What is your favourite phrase to use in a professional clapback?
Clap?
Yeah, so clapback, I guess it means it's sort of like a bit of a passive-aggressive response, you know, a bit of an ironic response to something you're not that pleased with. You know how someone might you're in the schoolyard, you get teased and you like clap at someone, oh, good on you.
Oh, gotcha.
Good on you. That's probably the best way to define it.
As clap back, yep.
So she's asked that. Mine is, per my last email.
Yes. I was about to say something like, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Which means, listen, you knucklehead.
Yeah.
Get it right the first time.
Super passive aggressive, I'd say, because on the surface, it's quite polite.
Mm.
But, you know, not far underneath, it's like, okay, I've already told you this. But here we go again, you idiot. So she nailed it. That's a good one. And then basically everyone jumped on board with all their other favourite, you know, petty responses in the workplace, which is helpful because now we have a bit of a list of some of those most commonly used phrases and what they actually mean.
Can you call people out on it, though? But I guess it's nice to know anyway.
It's good just to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to know where it's at.
Just in case it flew over the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to point it out and make you worried about your workplace.
And there's a few of these as well. So if you get one coming at you, just use one of these other ones. Fire one of these other ones back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so I'll hit you with it and you tell me what you think it means. These are some other people's favourite professional clapbacks.
Yep.
Going forward, I would prefer that you... ...
Well, it's saying whatever's happening right now is not working.
Yeah. It's saying, don't. Just effing don't do that. But a more polite way of saying it.
But they're using going forward, thinking that that dresses it up as let's plan future operations together in
That's
the future.
Right. Yes.
But really just get it right.
Going forward.
Don't do that.
It's ridiculous. I've seen this one before. In an effort to maintain transparency, ...
I guess things have happened that they want to be transparent that haven't been. I don't know.
Yeah, this is what I think it means. I'm watching you. Do not screw up.
Don't do things in secret. I'm all eyes everywhere.
Yeah, we're all over you. It's basically saying we know what you're up to. We're on to you and we are watching. Okay, how about this one? Any updates on this? ?
Hurry up.
Yeah. What it means is that's what you say when you've been waiting a week for something that should have taken a day.
Yeah. And you've not received any reply. Yep. So you might have said, can you do this for me? Thinking it's I'll get back with you end of the day maximum.
Yeah.
A week later. Right. Any updates?
It's probably a polite way of saying, why have you not got back to me?
That's rude.
Yeah.
You're rude for not getting back to me.
Yeah, but you can't say it.
No.
So these things are very clever. Like, just the sinister ways we twist the language. just so we don't... I guess if we didn't, we'd just be brawling the whole time. This is a shocker. I reckon I've seen this before, and it's not... It's almost just straight-out aggressive, not so much passive-aggressive. Not sure if my email made it to you, as I haven't heard back...
That's pretty just blatant, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Have you seen that, though?
Not in the work capacity.
No.
No.
Your job's actually not a huge emailing job, though, really, is it?
No, we receive a lot, but we don't have to bounce them back.
Nah.
It's like we pick and choose.
Yeah. Anyway, if I saw that one, I think the subtext there is you are just a lazy mongrel.
Yeah. This email was of significant importance. You ignored it. Right back.
Yep. You ignored it and I noticed. This one. And the person who selected this one actually wrote it all in caps. I don't know if it needs to be all in caps. As soon as you put anything in all caps, that's a message right there. But this one is, please advise.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I want your attention.
You must reply immediately. And you should have already, in actual fact.
Yep.
Do you have any personal gripes on
the
email?
Just that last one triggered a thought. I don't see it much, is the red exclamation mark. People use that?
That's
high
one
importance?
Of mine. That is
you
my
get a lot
one.
Of those?
Yeah. I have found that basically every job I've done, every workplace I've been in, there's one person in that business that always uses it. And I guess initially the idea was, hey, if you've got a really important email, pop the exclamation mark on it. But the people who tend to try to use it, actually use it, because, you know, 99% never even do that.
Well, we're all considering, is this, what is that exclamation for? Is it like death in the family rating, or someone sacked, or could it be as much as please fill out this form,
anything,
fill out this survey?
Well, anything that's that important, probably, you know, don't even use email. Yeah. But anyone who does, anyone who clicks on that, they do it for every email. That's the weird, you know, quirk about this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's the top one for me as well.
One that's not really to do with the passive aggressive side, but it's the group email response sometimes overused, because once it starts, I don't mind it. It definitely, if you know, some good news has been happened for the company or something like that, people want to share that. But it's a shame you can't get it all grouped into one collective email that says everyone's good comments, rather than seeing it make the ping noise and seeing the names flash up for every individual. Like, good on you, mate. Well done on that.
Thumbs up.
Project. I don't need that many.
No, you don't need the update.
I get it.
I've even seen a bizarre scenario where an email to an entire business somehow slipped into a parallel universe and somehow the complete wrong office ends up seeing another office's all staff email, and then you get a reply. One person replies back to the whole lot, take me off your list, and then all of a sudden another 30 one by one, take me off your list, and it's just insane.
Hey, I've thought of another one. This could go forever. But we get a lot of PR companies in the news field spruiking ideas, spruiking news stories. Fair enough. Some of it gets picked up. But when they try to be familiar and they get it all wrong. So we've had a person that worked in our newsroom about 2 years ago, and they're putting that person's name still on the name to sound familiar. So it's like, hi, Tim. Mm. I hope you've still in contact and like our stories.
Yeah,
and like, no, he hasn't worked here, so you're just behind the eight ball. Yeah, lost.
Do your research. I don't know if this is legitimate gripe. I honestly don't know if I'm just being ridiculous or if this is a little bit rude. When people never use your name in an email, it's just always, hi, and then they ask you to do something. And they never refer to you by name.
I reckon that's just probably common. That's manners, I would have thought.
You like to use someone's name.
Because unlike the face-to-face social awkwardness of, I can't remember your name, you have to know the person's name to write the email.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to just go, hey, web guy.
You know, my name's three letters. Most people's names is pretty small. Like, just pop it on there. I don't know. I feel like that's a polite thing.
Maybe you should write back. By the way, my name can be done with three touches of the keyboard.
Going forward, I would prefer that you refer to me by name. What about the sign off? Do you agonize over how to sign off?
Oh, okay. You're not talking about a watermark sort of.
No, like regards, cheers, warm kind regards, best.
Yeah, I can be cheers, and I can also be a smiley face, which we mentioned is not a good corporate sort of.
No.
Some sort of like, cheers, and then I just put my initials, smiley face.
And the smiley face, we learnt, is a tip-off that you're incompetent, apparently.
Well, I flash those all the time, but we've been over that.
So, they're the gripes.